You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Voodoo Dolls, and I'll explain more why we're talking about voodoo dolls today. I want to talk to you today not so much about forgiving somebody, but about the consequences of unforgiveness. And part of my job in my everyday life and dealing with people is over the years, however many it's been at this point, of sitting down, and I just got to tell you, you can't imagine what people will sit down and tell you. And the stuff that you may sit in this room or you may go in and out of your office, in your own family sometimes you don't know what's happened. And people clearly have done certain things in their life that bring on consequences. But there are things, there are atrocities, there are things perpetrated on small children, on adults, on women, on men, that are just beyond comprehension. And you say, well, that's somewhere else. Let me tell you something. You are somewhere else then. Because we have people who show up for some reason in this church who think, well, maybe they'll take me, or maybe there's answer, maybe there's hope. Maybe I haven't gone too far, or what happened to me is reversible, or at least God can heal my heart from it. You may have something going on, and this may be a tough day. Listen to this, because we're going to go through some tough stuff. But you say, well, I've forgiven everybody. I'm completely healed from my past. Then you might get some tools today to help somebody else deal with theirs. Because until you die, you are surrounded with people who are dealing with unforgiveness in some way or another, some extreme or another. Oscar Wilde said, always forgive your enemies. Nothing annoys them so much. I don't know who said this, but men forget but never forgive. Women forgive but never forget. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Corrie ten Boom, you may know something about her. She was a Christian that lived during the Holocaust. She survived the Holocaust but helped many Jews escape Nazi Germany during World War II or the occupation of the Nazis in her own country. The Nazis arrested the entire Ten Boom family in 1944. They were first sent to Dutch prisons and finally to the notorious Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany in September of 1944, where Corrie's sister Betsy died. Corrie was released in December of 1944. In the movie The Hiding Place, Corrie narrates the section on her release from camp by saying that she later learned her release was a clerical error. It so happened that the women prisoners her age in the camp were killed the day after her release. In her book, Tramp for the Lord, she tells the story of how after she had been preaching in Germany in 1947, she was approached by one of the cruelest former Ravensbrück camp guards. She was naturally reluctant to forgive him, but prayed that she would be able to. She wrote that she was then able to forgive. For a long moment when they met, she says, for a long moment we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. She also wrote that in her post-war experience with other victims of Nazi brutality, it was those who were able to forgive who were best able to rebuild their lives. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Now I don't even have to read this. Everybody knows this prayer, but let me tell you something. Stop praying the Lord's Prayer if you're praying the Lord's Prayer and you got trouble with forgiveness. You are screwing your life completely up. Do not pray this prayer. And you just think, well, what could possibly be in here? In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Seems pretty innocuous, just basic stuff. God, you're great. You're good. Help me. And then verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So here's the deal, God. I'm telling you straight up, I'm praying this. Do not forgive me unless I'm willing to forgive. That's the deal I'm cutting with you when I pray this. Forgive me as I forgive. If I don't forgive, don't forgive me. People say, well, I just don't think I'm experiencing God's forgiveness. It's just not real to me. You may have been praying the wrong prayer and meaning it, and that's why you're stuck. You say, well, why don't I experience God's forgiveness? I've tried to explain this to people before. It's as though a pipe, if you can imagine a pipe coming into the top of your head, going through your head, down into your body, and out your chest, and mercy and forgiveness flows to you and supposedly through you, is the turnoff valve above your head or out here in front of your chest. The valve is out here in front of your chest. And as you open the valve and let grace and mercy and forgiveness flow to somebody else, that's where it flows to you. When you reach out here and shut it down, God says, I didn't do it, you did it. You want to feel forgiven, you want to feel my mercy, my grace flowing to you, you're going to have to let it flow through you or it's over. And you say, well, I want God to forgive me, but you don't know what happened to me. You then don't know what happened to Jesus. Somebody's got to pay. They're going to pay. Somebody paid. Verse 12 again. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he goes on. We know what he says. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You think that's it. And he says, well, like we didn't say enough about the forgiveness thing. Verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He said, you know what? Just in case you didn't understand the prayer, let me clarify. You want to be forgiven? Forgive. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Now, as I said when we started, wherever you are listening to this, you need to understand, even if you walk out of here today or turn this off and say, I don't have to listen to this, I'm not going to pay any attention to this, I don't have to do this, you need to at least listen to this. If you choose not to forgive, you need to understand there are consequences. And the consequences aren't just slight, easy. There are severe consequences. And when I get done reading Matthew 18, you're going to see the consequences. And if you say, well, I don't care, I'm going to live my life my way, your way is going to be a terrible way to live. And you may believe, and by the way, in this whole mix of not forgiving, the devil lies to us to get us to sin, and then he lies to us to keep us sinning. So somewhere in the middle of this, be listening for the lies that you are hearing and believing in terms of making someone pay in some way for their sin. Matthew 18, verse 21 and following. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Peter thinks, I'm going out on a limb here. Up to seven times? I'm sure I'm way past what you're going to say, but I'd be all spiritual then, wouldn't I? Jesus said to him, I don't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I mean, nobody's making it to 70 times seven. If your husband's so stupid to do something 490 times and you stay, forget forgiving him. But you know what, ladies? Start adding it up. Think of the stupid things he's done more than that. And you keep forgiving him. Then he gives an example, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Now, if you look up the word here, 10,000, it means 10,000, but it's also the word murioi, which can mean innumerable or countless. So he throws a word out here that, yes, means 10,000 talents, but it means innumerable. It's just almost an infinite amount. So it's not even a fixed number. The word can go either way. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold. Not forced to file bankruptcy. We're going to sell you. You're going to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all. That's all he said that we know of, begging him, have patience, I'll pay you back. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Ever been forgiven like that? Owe somebody some money, you don't even want to see him. You know why it's terrible to lend money to friends? Because if they don't pay you back every time you see them, you don't want to see them, and you try to avoid them. Because you feel bad, you think, well, they're got a grudge because you didn't pay back your debt, and you feel bad because you didn't pay it back. You know, it's just awkward all around, so you just blows the relationship apart. This guy at least has begged and said, give me time to pay you back. It's better than that. The master says, you know what? I'm going to wipe out the debt. You don't owe me 10,000 talents, this innumerable amount. It's over. You're forgiven. You're free to go. But that servant went out, and this is us. Now, obviously, in the story, the king is God. and we are the servant. We are the people in debt way over our ear. We're just completely buried in debt toward God. We'll never pay it back. It's innumerable. And we go and beg, oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner, woe is me, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, Jesus died for me, was buried, raised from the dead, I accept this forgiveness, and boom, it happens, and wow, it's amazing. And then the story says, we turn around, go away from this king, and what happens? But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, 20 bucks, and he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat. He's been forgiven 10,000 talents, wiped out debt, and then he walks out and sees somebody and grabs him by the throat and says, I want my 20 bucks. And look what happens. Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. The same spiel this guy just delivered to the king. And then verse 30, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. See, you think, well, I don't forgive and God doesn't know and he doesn't see this and I'm getting away with it because it's really just in my head and in my heart and he doesn't know. Let me tell you something, he knows. So his fellow servants saw what had been done. They went and told the master all that had been done. Then verse 32, then his master, after he called him, said to him, you wicked servant. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me, you asked me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And that is the question. Doesn't that make complete sense? Now let me tell you what I think the problem is. You may have trouble forgiving because you really don't believe you can be forgiven yourself. If it ever dawns on you the debt that got paid when Jesus was nailed to that cross, shed his blood, was buried and raised from dead, if that ever gets a hold of you, it is going to be very difficult to experience that much mercy, that much grace, that much forgiveness, and then not dispense it. And it gets worse. And his master was angry. Now let me tell you something. You don't want God angry with you. But let me tell you what makes God angry. This deal he cut got his son Jesus killed. And when he was willing to sacrifice his son to get me forgiven and you forgiven, and then we turn around and say, well, thanks a lot, but I'm not dispensing that. He gets angry. And he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him back to the 10,000 talents. Now, my wife didn't like it when I use these words a lot, but let me tell you why your life sucks so bad. You may not be willing to forgive somebody, and you are going to die that way. And it may be the thing that kills you because you are going to be so angry, so bitter, so bottled up, and you think, why do I feel this way? Let me tell you why. The Father himself has turned you over to the torturers, to the tormentor. These are the guys that strap people in racks in the basement of these castles and pull them apart to torture them and somehow make them pay. And you say, well, that's okay. I don't mind as long as it's hurting the other person. You're hurting nobody. And even if I say, okay, well, maybe you are, we'll allow for the fact that if there's someone that you hate and you're angry and you're not going to forgive and it's hurting them, they may have dealt with the problem between them and God and they're loose of it. Now you're hurting nobody but you. I know people who hate dead people. It is the most bizarre thing you've ever seen to sit and talk to somebody that hates a dead person. What are you doing to a dead person? The devil says, go for it. Get him. How? And then look at verse 35. So my heavenly Father, and you say, well, this is just some, you know, terrible story Jesus told them. Now Jesus looks at these, at Peter and the crew and says this. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, I'm telling you straight up, some of your pain is self-inflicted. If you are tired of being in pain, if you are tired of being tortured by the past, give it up. Give some forgiveness. You say, it's not fair. And that's exactly what Jesus could have said. And he would have been right and you're wrong. It wasn't fair for an innocent man to die for all of us guilty people. But it happened so that we guilty people could be forgiven and in turn forgive other guilty people who don't deserve to be forgiven, but because we have been forgiven, we can forgive. And then somebody will say, but you don't know what happened to me. And I say, then you don't know what happened to Jesus. Lewis Mead says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. If you read the word in the Greek, and I don't do this a lot here telling you these things, but aphiemi is the word for forgiveness. And I'm going to pull some of these. There's a big old long definition for the way this word can be used. But to forgive, listen to this, to send away, to bid going away or depart, of a husband divorcing his wife, to send forth, yield up, to expire, to let go, let alone, let be, to disregard, to let go, give up a debt, forgive, to remit, to give up, keep no longer, to leave, go away from one, to go away, leaving something behind, let it go. Listen to some of this stuff in Romans chapter 12. Just jump down to verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Well, that sounds brilliant. Sure. Don't curse anybody who's done something bad to you or someone who's persecuted you. Bless them. God bless you, sir, for destroying my family. Bless you. Bless and do not curse. And how much cursing goes on. You say, well, I'm not actually cursing someone. You know, I hope that son of a God, you know, we throw these. Well, I'm just saying words. You know what? I hope you burn in hell. Where'd that come from? That doesn't sound like a blessing. You say, well, I never say that to anybody. How about under your breath, to hell with you? And God comes along and says, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bless those who persecute us. We're going to bless and not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Okay, that seems simple. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Or another one, verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, no revenge. You know what I want to do? I'm driving down the road, someone cuts me off in traffic. I did this the other day. You just feel like an absolute idiot. Someone did something stupid in traffic, and so I run my car up and look at him really hard. I showed him. I gotcha. And you're like, what am I doing? You know, you're like, whoa, maybe I should drive on. I just did something really stupid. Of course, you're by yourself and no one knows it, but you have that moment of satisfaction. We're idiots. It doesn't work. And then you think, man, if I had big rubber bumpers all around my car, I could just run into people. I'm really okay. It's just in the car. Repay no one evil for evil. But it's fun for the moment. You think there's some satisfaction, and there is, but you know what? It doesn't work. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You think, here's what the devil says, they're going to get away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. And what is so bizarre about forgiveness and mercy is if you really take it to the nth degree, what happens to you, and you may not be here yet, but when you realize that whatever it is I could conjure up and dream up to inflict pain on someone, if they die without Jesus, it's hell. You can't beat hell with your vengeance. There is nothing worse. And when you realize that what you hope to dish out, what you wish you could dish out, really, if they die without Christ, they're going to get much worse. Then something goes off in your head and you start saying, oh my gosh, God have mercy. No one deserves hell, especially when someone paid their way. And then sometimes the mercy kicks in and you can back into forgiving them because you realize what you wished on them, God's got way worse. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Edwin Chapin, a pastor, a clergyman from the 1800s, says, never does the human soul appear so strong as when it foregoes revenge and dares to forgive an injury. Verse 20, keep reading that same passage. Therefore, because that's not what you're supposed to do, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And some women feel that way every morning. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And let me tell you briefly, the word coals of fire here, the Greek word for coals is anthrax. The Bible says to anthrax them. Now, please don't take that too far. And let me give you a little background on that. A proverbial expression signifying to call up by favors you confer on your enemy the memory in him of the wrong he has done you, which shall pain him as if live coals were heaped on his head, that he may the more readily repent. The Arabians call things that cause very acute mental pain burning coals of the heart and fire of the liver. So you bless, you don't curse, because you're blessing them is like heaping these anthrax in them. It's putting coals of fire on their head and it makes them think, oh my gosh, this person, I remember what I did to them. Why are they being so good to me? And that causes them to deal with their sin. O.A. Bautista said, one of the most lasting pleasures you can experience is the feeling that comes over you when you genuinely forgive an enemy, whether he knows it or not. Ephesians chapter 4, read 25 and following, but for the sake of time, we're going to jump in at 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Just forgive the way you've been forgiven. Alan Patton says, when a deep injury is done us, we never recover until we forgive. Voodoo dolls. The practice of sticking pins in voodoo dolls has history in healing teachings as identifying pressure points. How it became known as a method of cursing an individual by some followers of what has become to be called the New Orleans voodoo, which is a local variant of hoodoo, is a mystery. Some speculate that it was one of the many ways of self-defense by instilling fear in slave owners. Such voodoo dolls are not a feature of Haitian religion, although the dolls intended for tourists may be found in their iron market in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Now, this isn't technically a voodoo doll, but it's going to be our voodoo doll today. Now, let's say this is the person. And somehow, I'm going to magically, with my stick pin here, I'm going to imagine and say, this is so-and-so who did such-and-such and deserves to pay. And so the devil says, by hating them, by not forgiving them, you can stick them. You can stick them in the head, in the eyes, in the ears, in the brain, anywhere you want to. And you're going to hurt them, and you're going to have some satisfaction. Just stick them, and they're going to pay. But what the devil doesn't tell you is that they never feel a thing. And every time you shove that needle in that doll, you hurt no one but yourself. But he gets us to buy the lie, and we spend our lives sticking the voodoo doll, thinking it's going to get it all better, instead of just letting them go.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, I'm not trying to dig up the past, and if you've dealt with the past, then you're kind of having deja voodoo now, and not about that. If you've dealt with it, you understand what I'm talking about, but there may be people listening today, and only you know. And maybe you've never told anybody, but the stories I hear of little children being molested, I'm not talking about seven-year-olds, I'm talking about year-olds that have somehow even memory of these things. Women that are raped and hate a man and then hate all men, and husbands, maybe one, two, three, who never even knew what was wrong. A woman just hated men. Some abuse, some verbal abuse, some emotional abuse, some physical abuse. And you say, you know what? I can't let go. I'm going to keep my voodoo doll because it's all I got. And you'll die with your doll. Or you say, you know what, Lord? I don't know much about this, and it may take me some time, but I don't want to live this way, and I don't want to die this way because it's not hurting the person because my person is dead. So it's really not hurting them, is it? I see the lie now. I don't know how to do this, but I'm willing, and really I'm willing selfishly because I realize it's killing me. And if you died to make me free and it's the truth that makes you free, then I see the truth now and I want to be free. I don't want to hate anymore, God. I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to take this out on everybody else around me anymore. I'm done. I'm going to turn the nozzle on. I'm going to let the forgiveness flow so it can flow to me and I can get on with my life. And you say, well, that all sounds really simple. And I'd like to tell you, it is really simple and pretty easy in some ways. But some of the stuff that happened to me took a long time because I didn't understand. So I'm trying to break it down and make it very simple today. As long as you understand, even if you're willing, the longer it takes you to do this, nobody's paying but you. And it is your life that's getting eaten up. And the sooner you do this, the better.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.